Get social with our new morning show. Follow on Twitter at Cap J Hood.
Cap and J Hood.
Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000.
Ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back, Cap J Hood. Huge Chris Fowler fan. That guy is so good. So good. And it when he's working, you know it's a big event.
He saves my Saturdays.
He does.
Every Saturday.
He does. And we'll talk to him about that Save the Saturdays promotion with Dos Equis. We get to talk college football with the great Chris Fowler here on Cap J Hood on ESPN 1000. Chris, good morning. How are you?
That's quite an introduction. I thank you for that. I'm humbled. It's good to talk to people there. I'm a Rockford native. You know, I'm in this business because I grew up listening to the Cubs and the Blackhawks, and Chicago sports my inspiration. So always nice to speak to you guys.
So I used to be the basketball coach at Northern Illinois. What years were you in Rockford?
Oh no, I was in Rockford way before your career at NIU. I was born there, so I was there in the 60s. Into the early 70s. So those were Cub teams that would break your heart.
Yes.
Blackhawks teams would get to the Stanley Cup Finals and lose to Montreal. But, you know, listen, those are formative years. It's important to learn as a young sports fan to take your lumps, to have your heart stepped on, to develop a thick skin. And I did all that stuff in Chicago. So I still have a real connection. I'm still a Blackhawks, Cubs, Bulls fan.
Chris, we want you to weigh in on our conversation about Dabo Swinney. We were just talking about that from Clemson and Florida State. I wish that game would have taken place, but there was a cancellation day of. What was your initial reaction when you heard the story?
Yeah, I mean, my reaction was, here we go again. I think there's more to it, though. I think that the fact that this guy's a backup offensive lineman, even though you test negative, you've been having symptoms, as I understand it, and I have some access to understanding what goes on there. You know, he had been having symptoms all week. So the tests are accurate, basically. We have to rely on them. But I don't know how precise they are in cases like that. So it wouldn't be a surprise to their medical people if the guy tested positive on Saturday, in my opinion, based on the symptoms. So do you have to take the guy? I mean, he doesn't play that much. They took him on the road. He got dinged with the Saturday morning test. You know, listen, I mean, I understand his frustration. They've been trying to get back on the field. Trevor hasn't played in a couple weeks. Florida State is in a woeful situation with the program. You use the word scared. I don't think their players are, quote, scared. But as a program that's struggling like they are and taking their lumps, what you're worried about is Clemson dropping 60 on you and that having such a shocking effect on recruiting, which is already struggling at Florida State. They're already in a little bit of a spiral. It's not a one-week or a one-season thing. It's recent years, and it's an arc that Mike Norvell – is desperate to turn around pretty quickly. So I think the worry is that a team like Clemson with a point to prove could go in there and drive 60 on you. And you lose by 40, and it further reinforces you are light years behind your rivals in the ACC. And I don't think Clemson would throttle back one iota if they had a chance to run it up. So that's what I think that would be the concern of Florida State. I don't know whether that's an excuse. I mean, you have to take player safety seriously. Somebody has to. And I think that, you know, you're perfectly justified in canceling the game for that reason. I'm not sure why Clemson would take the guy on the road who'd been having symptoms, as I understand it anyway. But, hey, listen, it's over and done with. And the bad blood will continue on into the future between those two programs, no doubt.
Chris, I thought it was a snapshot of how far the mighty have fallen when I'm watching Michigan celebrate like they just beat Ohio State and it was Rutgers that they got in triple overtime. What is the future of that program? Because they've recruited, you know, on paper, the classes have been good. They're paying the money for Harbaugh, $7, $8 million a year. And, boy, they look terrible.
Yeah, we did their game against Minnesota. And I expected that to be a tussle. Their offensive line played better than we thought they would. Milton looked pretty good managing the game. We thought, okay, all right, rebuilding year. Yeah, Michigan never really is supposed to have one of those. But this didn't look so bad. Then the wheels totally came off, and I've been watching their games, obviously. Was on a plane. I couldn't see the Rutgers game, but I know that they got lucky when Rutgers misses a field goal to win it. I think they're celebrating out of relief, fellas, because a loss would have been even more disastrous. Now you got the Misery Bowl with Penn State, which is a winless team coming in there this week. And I know the fans, I said it was a 12 on a scale of 1 to 5, disappointment, frustration, when we were in there and Wisconsin destroyed them in the Big House. We said several times they were very lucky that the place was basically empty. There were a lot of Wisconsin parents and you know, family members who were there, no Michigan fans to speak of, and they would have been booed off the field if there had been a regular Big House crowd that night.
What are your thoughts on the Fighting Reese Davises? Northwestern is just, they've just been on a roll, Chris. It's been an interesting run. When Northwestern's good, we all notice it around the Chicagoland area. And boy, it just, Northwestern's always had a strong defense, but now the offense is matching what the defense brings to the table.
Yeah, I love what Pat Fitzgerald does. See, I go back, I'm old enough to remember covering his games. He was a player at Northwestern, and the Wildcats went to the Rose Bowl. We were there when they clinched it on their home field, and Pat was a linebacker. So I've always had an affinity for him. I always appreciate the job he does. I mean, look, this is going to be a test of your tenacity, your resilience, your stamina, your culture as a program. 2020 was going to reveal all those things. What it's revealing about Northwestern are all positive things, and they should feel great about that. When you manufacture a win over a team, what were they, 2 for 15 on third down? They had 24 yards rushing. Mm-hmm. They barely had the football. But that defense is balling, and they did to Wisconsin what nobody does. They made them look mistake-prone. I mean, Wisconsin cooperated, but you don't see a Paul Chryst team lose thanks to penalties and turnovers very often. Northwestern was just ultra-sound. I mean, a lot to be proud of. I don't know if they're a top 10 team. The Reese Davis thing's fine. Well, Reese Davis is great at his job. You know, my successor at Game Day. He's minding his own business. Joey Galloway mouths off, and now all of a sudden Reese gets dragged into this thing, and Fitzgerald is using it as a rallying cry. I mean, I think it's pretty funny. But, like, when your buddy is seen as the symbol of mediocrity or athletic ability that you wouldn't want to have, I don't know if that's fair to Reese. But, you know, Pat's going to have his fun, and coaches use whatever they've got to motivate, right?
Before we let you go, I got to ask you, if you were going to say this team is going to be favored, Notre Dame, Ohio State in a playoff, who's favored in that game? Because I love Ohio State, but I can't put down Notre Dame. They got a hell of a football team.
Oh, no, Ohio State's favorite. I mean, Vegas is the only one that can answer that definitively. Only one place decides who a favorite is. That's not broadcaster or fan opinions. They'd be favored over the game. I think that Ohio State's fans are alarmed by what they see in the secondary, whether it's Ian Book or whether it's, you know, Alabama with their fearsome passing attack, or should they face Clemson again. I mean, I think that those kind of opponents concern Ohio State fans because the back end is not sound. And Indiana, to come from four touchdowns down, make that a game, was of serious concern. I mean, if anything, you got more concerned about Ohio State, more questions than you had going into the game. Offensively, no. They'll score Notre Dame. I think they'd be a solid favorite over Notre Dame, and I think they'd probably win the game. But they have some things to shore up, and I think all these teams do in 2020. I don't see one team that you look at and you go, oh, okay, there's a team with no weaknesses. There's a team that looks like one of the great teams we've seen in the sport. Nothing close to that, and maybe we shouldn't have expected that this year.
Cap, you know that Chris and Herbie save my Saturday. Every Saturday's a college football fan.
They absolutely do for all of us. And tell us about the Save Our Saturdays Dos Equis promotion.
It's been a great program because fans have had to try to look for ways to save their Saturdays, right? It just doesn't feel right that the fans can't go to the games at all or in the same numbers. But if you get creative and you find ways to sort of gather with your friends and you know, there's a great program Dos Equis has been doing pretty much all season long, and it's the Save Our Saturdays program. You can still get the 6 foot long cooler. You can still, you know, get in on the action, and you just want to text SOS to 77000. SOS to 77000, and you get a chance to win the 6 foot long cooler, social distancing. It's a grill pack, and it's been a great program. I think fans have enjoyed it. It requires the same things of fans as does for all of us. Get creative, adapt, be flexible. But Saturdays have been saved, and as we get to the stretch run, they can still be saved.
Hey, man, keep up the great work. You truly do make Saturday so freaking special. You're really good.
In this case, it's Fridays. I appreciate that. We got the Carolina-Notre Dame game on Friday, which I know fans in that area who like Notre Dame will watch. So just wish for us a close game, brother. We've had some blowouts. We've had some games that get out of hand for the second quarter. Had another one in Norman. I hope this one's a four-quarter game, a nice celebration of two programs on Friday. But I'll keep my eye on the Purple Cats. I can promise you that.
Appreciate you. Stay safe and healthy, okay?
You too, guys.
Thanks a lot. There he is. That is Chris Fowler of ESPN and ABC. He and Kirk Herbstreit, the lead crew, and they are outstanding.
Yeah, I mean, and they had their opportunity at the Bite of the Apple to do Monday Night Football early, and it was kind of unusual to see my guys on Saturday doing Monday Night Football, but they're football guys, and they do a tremendous job. I look, you know, when they're on, it's going to be a main event matchup, and they'll have another one coming up on Black Friday.
All right, 312-332-3776. The Fighting Reese Davises. Your thoughts, and we'll play that Joey Galloway comment about Northwestern. And how about the Fighting Illini?
ILL.
I-N-I.
Get off the bus running.
Hey, if overhead is dragging you down, then it's time to lower energy costs like a boss. You have energy-saving ideas, and the ComEd Energy Efficiency Program has the incentives and the tech support to turn those ideas into a reality. Find incentives on any energy-saving projects ranging from lighting upgrades to motion sensors to improvements for your IT room and more. Save money and energy like a boss. Visit ComEd.com/likeaboss. ComEd, powering lives funded in compliance with state law.
Itching your morning sports fix. Cap and J-Hood on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Rolling on ESPN 1000 with Hoodie. I'm Cap, JR, and Tyler in. Meller and Danny are off.
Now you're getting a chance to get a little flavor of my Chicago's College Tailgate Show with Bleck and Abdallah and me.
There you go.
Getting a little flavor right now.
A little flavor.
Feeling a little younger, feeling a little spry. Tyler's always part of the show. As our young correspondent on college football, it's always great. Shout out, by the way, Purdue. I know you're not feeling very good, Purdue. So my fandom starts on Friday night. Did you put anything out in Minnesota Purdue Friday night?
I did.
How'd you do? I had Row Your Boat plus two on minus two.
Okay,
I was fine on the Minnesota.
So I had Purdue on the money line.
Yeah,
and of course they horrible call.
Horrible.
I mean, literally.
Oh.
That's one of the worst calls I've ever seen. I wake up in the morning with a message in my account from PointsBook. PointsBet Sportsbook.
Yeah.
PointsBet is awesome. PointsBet said, any of you that bet Purdue, we are refunding in full whatever amount you put on the game. Because that's the worst call we've ever seen. And so, bam, back in my account.
That's, you know what, that should be in your reads. That's outstanding. I didn't have to worry about it because I was on the right side of that.
Right.
I was totally fine. Row Your Boat was able to win. But if you're a Purdue fan coming around West Lafayette or around, I feel bad for you because my thought on Friday watching that was, I don't want my Sundays in my college football. That's a Sunday call.
That's a horrible call.
So that's what you get on Sundays. Every Sunday you get calls like that. Get that out of my college football. That's a no call in college football.
Correct.
That's not why I'm a college football fan, because of calls like that. That I love college football because I don't have to deal with that every Friday night, every Saturday.
I'm watching.
Get that nonsense out of my college football.
I had a glass of bourbon sitting there with one nice ice ball. It's chilled. I'm drinking. I'm enjoying it. And I'm like, touchdown! And then I hear holding or pass interference, I think was the call. Yeah. Offense! I'm like,
no way.
Hold on a second. What did you just call? Offensive pass interference? They run it back, and it's like, whoa.
I appreciate the money, Minnesota, but Purdue did just get screwed on that call.
My cash back. I didn't get my winnings, but I got my bet. I'm good.
That's all right.
Points bet. Thank you. You're awesome.
So why did Joey Galloway say what he said?
So Joey Galloway was on SportsCenter, and he was asked about Northwestern. Here's how this all went down.
How would that impact the way you looked at Northwestern as it pertains to a shot at a playoff spot?
I've been watching Northwestern play, and honestly, I mean, they got a bunch of Reese Davises out there running around.
A bunch of Reese Davises running around.
Yeah, we are a bunch of Reese Davises.
I hope they don't cut that.
Morning, Reese. Coach Reese.
Oh, my God. Reese Davis with the catch.
My name is Riley Reese Davis.
Not bad for a bunch of Reese Davises.
All I see is a bunch of Reese Davis. Head coach Reese Davis.
Woo! That's Reese Davis 1, Reese Davis 2.
The problem is, too, what I hate is Reese Davis is a great guy.
Yeah.
He's a great guy.
Nice catch, Reese. Way to go.
Okay.
Because I'm looking at a bunch of bad Reese Davis.
Loved it. Loved it. And Pat Fitzgerald tweeting about it at Joey Galloway. And Joey could have been more gracious on his return tweet. Did you see him?
No, I didn't see him.
Yeah, congrats on the win, coach, or something. Like, hey, man, how about going, yeah, I'm glad I gave you some motivation. I look like an idiot. Go Northwestern.
Of course not. So, Tyler, what did Joey say after that? Do you have that?
I can dig it up real quick.
Okay, because of course, he had to respond to those comments. First of all, it's just nonsense. Why even go there? You got a bunch of Reese Davises. So what you're saying is you have a bunch of journalists with short hair that are unathletic. Is that what he's pretty much saying?
Pretty much.
What does that even mean? I didn't understand why that was a comment, because Northwestern used that as fuel. And they beat Wisconsin Saturday.
Yeah, and it's amazing how much social media, like Sean Payton is tweeting at one of the Falcons who talked about Taysom Hill. Yeah, we're going to have our way with the Saints. Sean Payton's retweeting it after the game. And then Pat Fitzgerald tweets at Joey Galloway, at Reese Davis. Not bad for a bunch of at Reese Davises. Joey Galloway. And I thought he could have been so much more gracious, Joey, and had fun laughing at himself.
So let's hear now from Joey Galloway and why he said that, right?
Okay, here's Galloway responding.
I said that they have a bunch of Reese Davises who is very intelligent and athletic.
And stop the run and play good defense.
Yeah. Play good defense.
And create takeaways.
Yeah.
How about that?
That's what Reese Davis does.
Tough guy on Tuesday, gets called out on Saturday. And now you're walking off it.
No, I'm staying by my statement. It was a compliment, and congratulations to Northwestern. That is a big win. Number one, I appreciate Coach watching the show. Now, that's the key.
All right.
People watch and listen.
Coaches do watch.
You know how I read this? You let Fitzgerald punk you.
I mean,
on
he did play linebacker.
Look at you. Unbelievable, Galloway.
Matt Barry.
Going
with
at him.
With the sledgehammer. My God. Barry. Getting it done. So, shout out to the Cats. I was on the wrong side of that Saturday, too. I thought, there's no shot. No, the flying Merkins coming in here to Evanston, even with the tall grass, I thought, yeah, I think Wisconsin's going to get it done. And there was Northwestern. They didn't run the ball well, Cap. They only ran for 24 yards. But they had their receivers out there, 239 yards of receivers. And what I've been waiting for Northwestern is that quarterback, that key guy. Ramsey's the guy.
He's pretty good, man.
Nice job.
Yeah.
Nice job. So another cardiac Cats team, not a surprise, right?
Their defense was so good. Their offense wasn't great, but Randy Merkin, he was so upset with me when I'm firing on him. Got your ass kicked in Evanston.
New right here for the peanut gallery.
And then his brother Scott, and I adore both Merkins,
mm-hmm.
Scott went to Michigan.
Oh, no.
They beat Rutgers in triple overtime because Rutgers missed a freaking field goal. And you would think Michigan just beat Ohio State for the Big Ten title and is going to the national championship game. You're Michigan. You took three overtimes and got lucky to beat Rutgers. And you're celebrating? If you're a senior leader in there, you go, guys, this is freaking embarrassing. We're Michigan.
So you know what happens, right, if Michigan loses that game. That's a tarmac game. You know,
they fire him right there.
You fire him.
Who's the coach that got fired?
Kiffin. Was
Lane
Kiffin.
Kiffin,
right?
That's it.
Right on the tarmac.
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah. That's a tarmac game. Because I had the tweet ready. It was ready to send.
Tarmac game.
It was right there. Like, if Michigan was going to lose the game, bam, tarmac game. I was ready. But I had it in the queue, but I had to erase it because they won the game. But that's a tarmac game. Like, you don't let him fly home with the team.
No.
You know what, Jim?
Coach, we're making a change.
Jim, you're a weirdo. Get out. That's it. I mean, because you can't lose to them. Is it bad enough that you're losing the way you are, but losing to Rutgers, a team that doesn't know who they are yet? No. No shot.
No shot.
You fire him on the tarmac.
And I will tell you, Greg Schiano, who a lot of people, you know, they got all upset when he was going to get which job? Tennessee. They got all upset. And he ends up going back to Rutgers where he was. That team plays hard, man. That guy can flat out coach.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. You hate to do the 2.0 thing with your coaches. You know, you don't want to have to hire someone that you already let go or someone
Dave
that walked
Lato.
Away. Oh, my guy. He came in second time. 1985. Bring him back. Suspiciously dark hair. Anyway, so you bring him back, right? It's hard to do 2.0 once he's been there right. once and to have him again. So that's interesting. And also, my friend, give a shout-out to the Illini. I always say this to the college coaches, right? I go, you got to give Cap and us something else to talk about, right? You got to be that third and fourth storyline. We talk about the Bears all the time, mm-hmm. little Bulls talk and everything else around. But you got to find a way to get on this show to be a third and fourth storyline through the winter to carry us through. And college football for Northwestern to be undefeated, which is awesome, the Fighting Reese Davises, and Lovie fighting for his job. Fighting for his job. They're 2-3, but they beat down Nebraska on the
they
road.
Crushed them. Good for now them. They get a step up in class. A team that struggled but hung on and beat Indiana. Now Ohio State's going to roll in.
Oh, God.
What is the line on that game? What's the early line on that game? I'm going to say Ohio State 24.5, and I would lay it all day.
Yeah, I think you would too. So shout out to them. At least we got some storylines there to discuss.
Danny and Wheaton. Hey, Danny, what's up, man?
Hey, good morning, Cap. Jay Hood, not Jordan Cornette. I'm not sure how people still get that wrong sometimes.
Appreciate you.
I was doing some mediocre cartwheels on Saturday. I was so happy to see Illinois won. They don't leave me happy too many times. I'm not going to ever call for somebody's job. I know, you know, they make a lot of money, but that's their livelihood. I don't know if Logan Smith is the answer because, you know, before COVID stuff, that defense was pretty suspect against Minnesota and Purdue because most of the COVID cases was on the offense and their starting quarterback. But also, look out for our basketball team this year. We're going to be top 10.
Yeah, I actually picked the Illini, if we have it, to get to a Final Four. I think they're that good, and I love their coach.
Yeah, I can't. Brad Underwood's awesome.
He's a stud, man. Hey, thanks, Danny. Have a good week, kid.
You too, guys.
No line. Did you see one?
I saw 30.
Do you? I don't have it on DraftKings yet.
Well, no, because it's not going to go up on DraftKings because it's Illinois.
Oh! Take that! Pritzker!
Come on, Flintstone.
When you come back from your Wisconsin lake house or your Florida condo, how can... Like, do they really, really think that if I can place a bet on a college game in the state, it's going to be a problem? Do they really believe that? Have you not heard of bookmakers or offshore sites that have been doing this for decades?
I'm trying to refrain. You see me hard trying to... Cause yeah. Just me yelling his name was enough. That's all I could... Because I'm still not used to that, right?
But he sends me 3 picks every week. And he's way over 60%.
Oh, God.
He sends me 2 weeks ago. Yeah, I really like, and he listed Northwestern. And I'm like, can't bet that game. What do you mean?
Yeah, just.
Come on, Pritzker. You're better than that.
Cap, that doesn't make any sense.
It does not.
I mean, we have guests on our college show from out of town, from Memphis, and from Los Angeles, and from down south, Alabama, and we tell that we have our gambling experts on, and they said, hey, why don't you talk about Northwestern? I was like, well, we can't because we can't bet it here. And the guy from Memphis, excuse me?
What does that mean?
What do you mean you can't bet it here? I was like, we can't bet it here.
Our governor won't let us bet on our own college teams.
I'm just...
How much does that suck for Illinois fans, Illinois basketball fans this year who want to place a championship or a Final Four wager? Because that's a very viable option this year.
Very viable. Illinois can win the national championship. They can.
I'm trying so hard not to be political. I'm trying so hard right now. But that is a problem.
Yes.
That is a major problem for me.
Well, it's just stupid. It's just dumb. You know. Well, we were not going to let you at PointsBet, DraftKings, FanDuel. You can't bet on the Illinois college teams. But tell that to Rocco, who runs his bookmaking shop down the street, or Bovada, or any other one. Oh, you can get it on there. It's just dumb.
It is dumb. And let me just switch to the topic and talk about Illinois. You're right. Cap was the first one on Underwood. The first one in the city. He's like, yeah, that guy's coming in. He's going to be good. And look at Illinois now. Illinois is going to be fun to watch. They play Wednesday. I know they play this week.
It's Wednesday.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to their season.
He's a beast.
Yeah.
And that guy is tough. He's hard nosed. Like, he'll get on you. But his players will respond for him because they know he loves them. 312-332-3776. Jim Harbaugh might be on the market. Jim Harbaugh to the Bears? What would you say?
Wait a minute.
312-332-3776. Plus, news on the Bears quarterback job? Next. It's time for some straight talk. Look, we all drop our phones. It happens. You fumble it, crack it, splash it. Well, Straight Talk Wireless now offers this new Platinum Unlimited plan that includes phone protection. Just $65 a month for unlimited talk, text, and data, plus 20 gigs of hotspot and 100 gigs of cloud storage and more, all on the best networks. Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. See mobile protect terms and conditions at Asurion.com/straighttalk. Limitations and exclusions apply.
Cap and Jay Hood. Mornings.
ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
So, Jim Harbaugh is probably, now again, we're in a pandemic. He's probably going to be out at Michigan after this year. They're only paying him like $8 million a year to wildly underachieve.
Only $8 million.
Yeah.
Hope you people on the, you know, on the grassroots level hear what Cap's saying. Only $8
million. Yeah, I say it sarcastically because they paid through the nose to get him out of the NFL. They've given him every single thing he wants to be successful there. And they're worse than they were under Brady Hoke, right?
Well, what's the line? I told you what Mark Schlabaugh told me, right? I asked him a salient question on the old night show. I said, Mark Schlabaugh covers college football for ESPN. What's the difference between Brady Hoke and Jim Harbaugh? And he paused for a second, and he said, about 80 pounds.
He's right.
Because there's really no difference between the two as far as one loss record. So when you think about Jim Harbaugh, right? And this has been going on over the weekend, because I know you saw this, too, on your Twitter, right?
Mm-hmm.
About Jim Harbaugh and what Jim Harbaugh would look like with the Bears. I know Waddle and Sylvie, that call will come in every now and then. Will says, what about Harbaugh? What about Jim Harbaugh being the coach for the Bears?
Mm-hmm.
That's, you know, that's a hard pass. That's not happening with Chicago. And if it is, that means the Bears have not done their due diligence. There's something going on with Jim.
Something. It's off.
You cover Jim. I was a producer and heard that tape once when he's a quarterback for the Bears. More salient with it. Like, seemed like a smart guy, right?
Yeah.
There's something going on there.
Correct.
Waddle won't tell us, but there's something going on with Jim.
Something's off.
You have Harbaugh, the stuff that we play on our college, Chicago's college tailgate show.
Oh, yeah.
So let's for those that don't understand what we're saying, you know, because some people, instead of looking at the one loss record, they look at the personality and what's being said.
The name.
Okay, this is Jim Harbaugh previewing the Rutgers game. Tell me how good the soundbite is.
You know, they're playing very good football in so many different areas. Stepped it up. Greatly. They look very physical, fast. They execute really well, both sides of the ball. So, running back's still really good, and even gotten better. So many good things. I mean, it's going to take, we got to play good. We're going to have to play good, in order to, to be successful.
Sounds medicated.
Excited about that challenge.
He does. He sounds medicated. I mean,
what is wrong?
Where is that? Like that?
Did he sound like that?
Fiery Jim Harbaugh.
Remember when you covered him?
Yes.
Did he sound like that?
No.
Okay. There's something wrong there.
Something's off.
What about this? How about this one here?
We were thoroughly beaten in every phase. I didn't. Didn't really do anything well, and did not play good, did not coach good.
That'd be well.
Not in a good place with the execution. Not in a good place
adjusting and what we were doing schematically. So not a good place as a football team right now, and that falls on me.
Oh boy.
Hard pass. Hard pass. Coach the Bears? Stop.
No. That's just not it. And I want to make sure that we lay out the reason why. Now, again, for some people, they need that sound. But we play this every Saturday on tailgate. So we hear this all the time. We're like, what's wrong there? What's the matter, right? His mind is someplace else. I don't know what it is. But here's why you don't want him. The reason why is because people look at him with the 49ers, right? And they say, boy, with Kaepernick, man, that team was humming. Solid. Remember the Bears playing the 49ers, right? And how the Bears just got just eaten alive. Like, the defense was so thrown off by all of the RPO stuff that they were throwing out there. Greg Roman was the offensive coordinator for the 49ers. Now, Harbaugh had something to do with it as well, and Kaepernick was into his own. He's very good at that time. But, Cap, I don't know if Jim Harbaugh can ever have that kind of dynamic offense again without Greg Roman as the offensive coordinator. I don't see any semblance of anything we saw from the 49ers from the Michigan. I watch them every week. I don't know what that is. I mean, that team is lost. Lost.
And in recruiting, go back through the rankings. Like, they're getting top 5, top 10 recruiting classes.
I know that in Michigan that the only thing that matters is to beat Ohio State, and then secondly is to win your conference, win the division and win your conference. They're light years away
from Michigan. Light years. I mean,
from Ohio State.
Holy smoke. So I wouldn't want him if he said, I'll pay you $5 million to coach the Bears. Hard pass. Hard.
So,
stop. 312-332-3776. But you all celebrate that win over Rutgers like you just won the national title. More of your calls on the Bears and the Jim Harbaugh debacle at Michigan.
Oh, man.
Next. Open enrollment is here through GetCoveredIllinois.gov. You'll find all the affordable health insurance and essential health benefits information you need to give you and your family peace of mind.
David Kaplan. Jonathan Hood. Welcome, fans. This is Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the new ESPN Chicago app.
Merkin's in here trying to defend. Oh, they're going to keep Jim Harbaugh. They had a bunch of guys opt out. Everybody's had guys opt out. That's Michigan. You should be running off the field after you squeak by Rutgers going, thank you, Jesus, for letting us survive. Not celebrating like you just knocked off Urban Meyer and Nick Saban's All-Star team.
It also is a non-redshirt year. Everybody can play. There are no red shirts. Everybody Correct. Can play this year.
Correct.
So even your 5 stars that you never play, you can put them in there too.
Correct.
So, no, it's just Michigan has a major problem here. And this is why over the weekend we heard a couple of things we saw. You see Colin Cowherd's tweet, right?
Yeah.
So that was the whole thing of, Pat Fitzgerald should be an NFL coach. He should be – no.
He's perfect where he is.
No. No. Fitz had his opportunity with Green Bay. That wasn't going to happen, apparently. Right. And he could be in that job forever. Who's firing Pat Fitzgerald?
Nobody.
Even on down years, and I'm hard on Northwestern, because I think that we should have a standard here in this state. But even on down years, it's like, that guy's isn't going anywhere.
No.
He's not going anywhere. So Cowherd says he could, he should be on an NFL team. No, that's not the answer.
No.
But in the same thing with Jim Harbaugh, he can't be the coach of the Bears for me. I don't know about you, but that doesn't work for me.
I'm with you. 312-332-3776. Nesby is on Stony Island. What's going on, Nesby?
What's up, Cap? What's up, Hoodie, man?
What's up, man?
Nothing much, man. Let me just break it down to you. It's a little windy, but I'm going to try to shorten it up. That's like me telling you gentlemen to go and do a radio show, but you can't talk about certain topics. You got to do it with one arm tied behind your back. Jim Harbaugh has checked out because he is handcuffed in Ann Arbor. He's handcuffed. What I mean by handcuffed is he only recruits quote-unquote Michigan men. He doesn't run that program. The alumni, the boosters in Michigan run that program, and they want him to get specific kids. Out there in Columbus, Ohio, you don't see them going to Corpus Christi, Texas to go in to get a guy. They're going to get him right out of Cleveland. They're going to get him right out of Youngstown. All Jim Harbaugh's talent in state is in the Metro Detroit area, which Michigan will not allow him to. I wouldn't say not allow him. Only certain kids they will allow him to go get. Now, perfect example. You have the young man that came out of Pontiac, Michigan, that plays for the Denver Broncos right now. You have another guy. You had the young kid, the running back from Alabama, from Flint, Michigan. You allow him to go to Alabama. He's right in your backyard. Won the Heisman. Again, Jim Harbaugh is handcuffed at the University of Michigan with the type of players he can recruit in order to win. Just because he's not good at Michigan doesn't mean he won't be great in the NFL.
Well, not for me. Not for my team. Not for the Bears.
Pass, Nesby. If you said you'd pay his salary, I don't want him here.
Nick Saban wasn't great in the NFL, but he's great in college.
There's a reason. There's a reason for that, because he's got great coaches. He always has the top shelf coaches and the best recruits. When you win, they come. When it comes to Jim Harbaugh and Michigan, it's a different standard here. The standard cannot be what the standard is for Iowa or some of these other teams. Michigan should be on the top shelf with Ohio State competing for the Big Ten championship or national championships.
Agreed. And you go back and look through the recruiting rankings, because I have. Michigan's always getting the cream of the crop, top players. Please don't tell me that you're paying a guy $8-plus million a year. He could spend whatever he needs on his staff, and that's the best quarterbacks you can put on your roster at the University of freaking Michigan? Stop.
Class of 2019 for Michigan here. You ready? These Michigan men, all right? Tulsa, Oklahoma, Norcross, Georgia, Westlake Village, California, Grand Rapids, Michigan, and Loganville, Georgia. All of those guys, top 110 guys in the class.
He's doing fine.
He's getting players.
He's just not in the Midwest. He's getting players. You got to coach him. College reveals everything about coaching, because it's all on you as a coach. Because you're the one teaching,
yep,
and you're the one supposed to teach those kids to execute.
And developing.
It's on you.
Yeah, no question.
College football is better when Bama, USC, Clemson, Texas, Notre Dame, Ohio State, and Michigan are good. Michigan is one of those teams, man. It's one of those teams that's supposed to be a blue blood program, and they haven't been in a long time.
They have not. Since Harbaugh's been there, he followed up. Brady Hoke was 5-7, got fired. Harbaugh, 10-3, won the Citrus Bowl. 10-3, lost the Orange Bowl. 8-5, lost the Outback Bowl. 10-3, lost the Peach Bowl. 9-4, lost the Citrus Bowl. If you're counting, that's four straight bowl losses, and he's 2-3 now.
There you go.
Not good. 312-332-3776. And let's go to Andrew in Aurora. Hey, Andrew, what's up, man?
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Drew!
Go Blue! Yeah.
Go Blue.
Anyway, so I lived in Michigan for about 30 years. Both of my parents went there. My dad actually taught there for a little while. So I'm a Michigan guy, and was happy to see Harbaugh come in. That's been kind of it's been a mixed bag, because he's beaten the teams he's supposed to beat, like you just said, 9-10 win seasons. He beats the teams you're supposed to, struggles against, you know, the teams that he should fight against, obviously Ohio State. This year has been unexpectedly bad. They won the first game against Minnesota, but these last three games, Michigan State and Indiana included, they've just looked uninspired. They've looked flat. They've looked uncoached. And it's just been head scratching, like this. It's not what we want, of course, but it was surprisingly disappointing. So what happened Saturday night was, and I don't know who's expecting them to do a lot, it was just nice to see this team show up. And it happened the minute they put in McNamara, the backup, late the second quarter.
Yeah,
I believe they were down 20-7. His first drive, and I didn't catch the Indiana game, from what I understand, they put him in there for one drive in the Indiana game, marched right down the field, touchdown. They bring him in Saturday night, and Milton had done nothing all game, and they looked bad. He comes, marches right down the field, gets a touchdown. And the second half, it looked like an entirely different team. It looked like the kind of team you'd expect from Michigan. Guys making plays. The guy had athleticism. He had good judgment, accurate passing. So the point for Saturday night is, it's one thing, hey, sweet, it's Michigan. It's what we wanted. The second one is, how did you start Milton for five games, and you had this guy ready to do this, apparently? Mm-hmm. Like, is he just a bad practice quarterback, but in game situations, you know, he's Mahomes
well,
light.
Let's
with
see.
Sidearm throws and everything else. So it was
Andrew,
holy crap.
Appreciate your call. Have a great Thanksgiving week.
Easy, Andrew.
How is that the best you have at quarterback from either guy? And it was Rutgers. Let's see how he does against a really good team.
And don't worry, Michigan fans, you have Penn State coming up on Saturday the 28th, so that'll help you out as well because Penn State is terrible and they're going through a scandal again. So don't worry, you're going to be fine. So, by the way, great opportunity to promote Chicago's College Tailgate, a special edition Friday, a Black Friday edition at 11 a.m.
Nice.
Right into Notre Dame, North Carolina.
I will be on my second Bloody Mary, and I will be listening.
11 a.m. on Friday. If you're a college football fan listening to this segment, we have one every week, but it's going to be on Friday, right before Notre Dame and North Carolina.
Look forward to it. We talked to Jeff Dickerson on the Bears, and we may have quarterback news. It's Bears-Packers week in 2 minutes.